Morning, everybody. You know, last time I was here, I went over the beginning of Daniel chapter 2. And then at the conference that you guys had, I was talking to Peter Rennie, and he's going through Daniel chapter 2. So I am going to defer to the better and wiser man, and I'm going to jump to something else and let Peter go on that. I tell you, it's been very interesting. Thanks, Dan. Talking to Danny this morning and Lana, and even what we talked about a little bit this morning at the Lord's Supper, this week has been rough. This week has been brutal. And coming on Friday, you know, I had to preach today, of course. And I got two tests on Monday, and I got a call on Friday, and something bad happened, and I haven't been able to, you know, your mind is like, it's gone, and you want to quit. I want to quit. You feel that way. And I remember, tell you, I loved the conference that was here. And some of the things that were said really, really struck me hard. And thought to myself, you know, what's wrong with me here? So, tell you, I was reading last night. I tell you, I felt comfort. Have you ever read the Word of God and felt comforted? Because only God can comfort somebody. And that's what I felt. But I thought to myself, man, we have got to be in the last days. I mean, Billy Graham just came out and he said, America is just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like it. And it's almost waiting for the hammer to fall. Even Christians. Sometimes I don't understand anymore. Sometimes I really don't. So I was reading, and I thought to myself, man, we need Christ. And I was thinking about 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and that's where we're going to be today. And I just want to give you a little overview of the gospel, or the book of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. There's three strands, if you want to say, that come from, in the beginning, the word of life. Starting at the beginning, righteousness, love, and truth. And John uses these words time and time again. One of his favorite words, love. We'll see that a lot. But it's like cycles. Chapters 1 and 2, you have the first cycle, the relationship to divine persons. 2:29 to 4:6, our resemblance to our Father. 4:7 to 5:17, our relationships with one another. And then as it comes to the end of the book, you read the words, we know, we know, we know. We know that we have eternal life. And this is the true God and eternal life. The final exhortation to keep yourselves from idols. John is encouraging us. He's encouraging believers. And I'll tell you, we need encouragement today. We need encouragement today. 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to start at verse 7. And it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Remember, we talked a little bit about that this morning. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. The love of God, how rich and pure, right? It never ends. It's forever strong. It shall evermore endure. And you know that hymn, right? The love of God. See, John here, as he's talking about relationships, as he's talking about our salvation, he comes off the first part of chapter 4 to test the spirits, to see whether they are of God or not, to try the spirits, test them all, because the types of antichrists have come into the world teaching all manner of things. And we have to test and we have to try and make sure that things are right according to the Word of God. And then in verse 7, he says, beloved. Now he uses this term over and over again in this book. Beloved, 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 brethren, little children. Because these people were tender to him. He loved them. He says, let us love one another. Starts right out. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Now, I'll tell you what. In this world, it's funny because there's a lot of people that just want God to be a God of love and forget everything else, right? God is a God of love. He loves everybody, and he does. And he is a God of love, and that's absolutely true. But there's more to him than just that. And we can't forget that. Because all of his attributes he holds in totality and equality. So when you say that God is love, he's also just and absolute perfection. And he's holy and absolute perfection. And he's merciful and absolute perfection, right? All of them. But he says, let us love one another, for love is of God. Where does it come from? How do we know how to love someone? We have an example, don't we? We have an absolute example. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Now, let me just preface this by something. I have a brother, his name's Mark, and he's an atheist. Okay? But he loves his children. Right? He loved his wife. So is this telling us that it's only, you know, only Christians that love? This is different. This is agape. It's not just the affection between brothers, because anybody can do that. This is agape. When you see, let us love one another, for love is of God, it's not just the love between a man and a woman, or a brother and a brother, or friends, or whatever. It's not that. It's more. The love that you see here is love in spite of love. In other words, it's the love that I love somebody even though they're a jerk. Love. Because remember what it says, let us love one another, for love is of God. How did God love you? He loves you unconditionally. Right? I'm a jerk. And I'll admit it freely. I know that sometimes I say wrong things, and sometimes I do wrong things, and sometimes I don't do what I should do. Right? None of you are like that, right? It's just me. But how does God love me? He loves me unconditionally. Then how are we to love? Love the unlovable. So everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Agape. It's a whole different realm to love the unlovable and to love those who, those are castaways. Forget those people. No. Jesus never, ever, ever did that. Ever. So why should we? He that does not love, verse 8, does not know God, for God is love. Isn't that interesting? Think of some of the worst people maybe in history that you could think of. Hitler, Mussolini, Kim Jong-un, ill, whatever, you know, pick one. There's three of them. any number of people. Charles Manson, David Koresh. Just you could probably think of more than I can. My brain's frazzled. For God so loved the world. Those are people that we would just as soon watch hang, right? For all the evil and wickedness. For God so loved the world. But I'm not as bad as them. Right? I've never killed anybody. Really? I've never poisoned people with Kool-Aid. You know, I've never shot anyone. Never done. You know what? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Even if you hate a man, you have committed murder. I stole a pack of gum once. I remember that when I was a little kid. But I've never extorted millions from a city. Right? No, I'm just as bad, folks. I may have never acted it out, but I'm just as bad. And he still loves me. How is that possible? How is that possible? He that does not love does not know God, for God is love. Tell you what, it's a whole different plane. It's a whole different level. This love of God we're talking about. I can't love like this. It's not my nature to love like this. I have a sinful nature, and I'm selfish. And when it says, he that does not love does not know God, it's agape love. You can only get it from him. It's something that he gives that you give away. If I'm not born again, I don't have that. A person who is not born again, this is impossible. Oh yeah, what about Mother Teresa? She loved unconditionally. You know, there's an exception to every rule, all right? But this is not the way people are. And this is not the way I was before I got saved. And even this is not even the way I am sometimes now. I have a problem. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. How is it that God loves us? A, first, he loves us unconditionally. He loves us in spite of us. He knows every single thing about us. And you're saying, I don't want that door open for everyone to see, right? I don't want people to see those things. Right? Because if there are things that if you knew about me, you would hate me. You might not want to talk to me. Right? God knows those things. And yet he loves me. That's a lot of times why people are so afraid to confide or talk to people or whatever. Right? To bare your heart to people. How are they going to react? What are they going to think? What are they going to do? Right? So we don't. We bury it. So how do people without Christ live like that? How do they take care of that? How do they handle living with all that stuff buried, never being able to come out? Right? Drugs, alcohol, any number of things to try to bury it. And it never works. It only makes it worse. But he is faithful and he is just. And we can go right to the throne. And he'll never think any differently about us, ever. Right? Because he loves us unconditionally. That's amazing, if you think about it. He gave his only begotten Son so that we can live. He could have just went, and we would have been over, and we would have deserved it. But yet, he sent his Son. And you know what the word propitiation means? There's a huge word. Satisfying sacrifice. For everybody. Even Sean Sellers, the Satanist, who murdered both his parents while they slept in their bed. And then went down and murdered the man at the party store. And then went to jail and got saved. And found out that Jesus Christ died for him. Right? Throw that kid away. Put him in the electric chair. What a brutal thing to do. God loved him. He didn't want him to do those things. But what do you do if you have done those things? What if you think you're the worst person in the world? I don't know. Maybe you try slitting your wrist. Maybe you sit out on a rock in the front of your house and you cry, asking God to take you away when I was 7. That's what you do. How do people live? Don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know about myself. So we have this powerful example. Christ died for me. He loved me. And then verse 11 comes along and says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." You mean I got to do something? You mean I need to reflect that? Yeah. Because I was there once, and somebody loved me and told me about Christ. Somebody became a part of my life. For a year, my friend I met back in first grade talked to me about the Lord, and I would tell him to go away in not so nice terms. A year. Why did he do that? Because he loved me. But not because he loved me, because Christ loved me through him. And he didn't give up. He didn't stop. He didn't say, "This is a lost cause." Even when I got angry, right? He still prayed and he still came and he still shared with me the scriptures. Who would have ever thought you'd be sitting here today? Who would have ever thought I would be behind the pulpit reading the Word of God and teaching somebody else? What a weird thing. Never would have thought that in a million years way back when, right? But Jesus loved me, saved me, and put me somewhere and put you somewhere. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? He loved us. And he's got a wonderful plan for our lives. So if God so loved us, agape, we also ought to love one another. What do we need more in this world than anything Oh, my word, what do we need? Not just between family and between brothers and sisters, but between Christians. Tell you what, when I was going through this, and I was thinking of myself. What a creep. You know what I mean? What a creep. But how far we have come. Because when did I get saved? 88? How many years ago was that? Long time. I can't even think. I wasn't like this. I was shy and scared and terrified and kept mouth shut and all these other things. But God has so changed me. Right? Because Christ liveth in me. Interesting. Proverbs 10:12 says this: hatred stirs up strife. The wrath of man never produces the righteousness of God. Did you know that? Yelling at somebody in front of their family never produces the righteousness of God. Never. Blasting one of your kids or my kids never produces the righteousness of God. Never. Your boss yelling at you at work never produces the righteousness of God. The wrath of man never does that. I love the end of the verse, though, but love covers all sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, it does. So I think sometimes Christians, and I know it because I'm there, is we can be some of the most self-righteous people in the world. Some of the most uncaring, self-righteous, selfish people. And yet we're called to be so much more. Sorry, this isn't a warm and fuzzy, is it? I'm talking to myself. Listen to this. This comes out of the book of Matthew, and of course he's talking about before the tribulation period and right amongst the tribulation period. But he says this in Matthew 24:10. It says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold." That's happening. It's happening. It's happening right amongst us. It's happening all around us. Many shall be offended. I think sometimes Christians are also onion skinned. Everything offends us. The little things offend us. We can't be that way. Heard a very wise man say, you got to pick your battles. You have to not go after everything, just what's really important. And it's funny, how many stories are there in this room? How many stories are there in this room? For every single person sitting in a seat, there's a story, isn't there? Hundreds of stories. Thousands of stories. Of where you've come from and everything that's happened to you. Right? That has made you the person you are. Same with me. So why get offended at every little thing? Isn't God bringing you along just like he's bringing me along? Aren't we all traveling the same road? Maybe not the same experiences, but the same way. And yet we get so bent out of shape and we don't talk to each other. You know what I found? From when I was a little kid, it's easy to run, isn't it? It's easy to run away. It's easy to give up. It's easy to run. It's easy to quit. It's hard to stick with something. It's hard to stay with it for the long haul, is it not? Tell you what, I was reading a book. Excuse me for one second. I was reading a book, and it was Bo Schembechler's last book. And you that were born and raised in Michigan or came to Michigan, you know who Bo Schembechler is, right? One of the greatest coaches. That's exactly right. The greatest coaches at U of M football. And U of M, I like Michigan State. But it was interesting. Before he was coach at U of M, he had had some previous jobs, earlier jobs, you know, coaching and assistant coaching and different things like that. And he said that one of the things that really made him who he was with a team, and they didn't win a game all year. This was a college team. And he said it was one of the hardest things ever. But you know what he said? The coach of the squad, of that team, would come in and tell us, this is what makes a person. It's not what happens in the good times that make you. It's what happens when everybody is struggling, when it's the worst of times, and you stick with it, and you don't quit. See, love, agape love, is hard because it's not who we are. It's not our nature to love like God loves. It's only God loving through us to someone else that we can do it. It's easier just to, done, isn't it? It's easier to walk away. I used to do that all the time. Sometimes I feel like I want to now. I want to quit math. I have a test on Monday. Okay? I want to quit. I really do. Why am I doing this? This is stupid. I hate math. It hates me. It's God's math. I told you that last time I was here. It's God's math. He made it. But you know what? I'm not smart enough for it. Some other people are. Mike Antos loves calculus. Good for you. Right? I'm glad you love calculus. Because it don't love me. I understand it. Can I regurgitate it on a test? Absolutely not. Love. Running. Hebrews 13:1. When you think about the book of Hebrews, all through the book of Hebrews, Christ is better, Christ is better, Christ is better than all these things. Hebrews 13:1, he says, the writer says, let brotherly love continue. Let it continue. Because in the last days, it's going to grow cold. Remember, Jesus even asked, he said, will I find faith on the earth? I don't know if you heard about in Houston, the mayor of Houston is subpoenaing pastors, and she wants their sermons if they speak against homosexuality. Did you read about that? I remember years ago we used to talk. There, persecution is coming, but we always thought it was like, oh, it's over there. It's so far. No, it's now. It's now. And you look at the world the way it is, you know, you've got just the general state of the world, and you've got, you know, Ebola, and you've got all these different things, and you're thinking, man, we used to talk, we used to say, that stuff's way down the road. No, it's here. It's now. It's right now. Who would ever thought? It's now. So what a better time to love one another, right? Because I tell you what, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He would love to split this whole place up and scatter all of you to the four winds, and you're all gone, right? He wants to tear you up. He wants to destroy Calvary. He wants to destroy Martin Road. He wants to destroy all those things. And when the trouble starts coming, it's real easy to start sniping and picking at one another and being offended at every little thing. May it not be. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. I don't know about you. I've never seen God at all. Do you? I haven't. Now, a few people have, right? Those who walked with Jesus. Abraham ate with God. Jacob wrestled with God. There were a few people. I have never. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. One of the signs of a believer is love. Love for one another. Now, you know, you've seen and I've seen believers who are maybe not walking with the Lord and maybe they're not showing the things that we should show. Doesn't mean they're not saved. Maybe they're in a lot of pain and they need encouragement and help. But if you're a believer, then love should be one of the qualities or traits of your life. Should be a trait and quality of my life, loving one another. Should be. It should be. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Think about that. The man who wrote this book saw God walking, right? On this earth. And he testified of it. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not just a story. You know, like this morning, we were talking about the book of Ezekiel. And is it Ezekiel chapter 4, Danny? And I got to read it because it was the strangest thing. And I can't even remember ever reading it. It's the strangest thing. What am I getting to? The whole point is, John is writing about something that's absolutely true. He's writing about someone who is absolutely real. Jesus Christ is absolutely historical. He actually lived. He actually walked this earth. He actually ate food. He cried. He died. He rose from the dead. Absolutely true. Therefore, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Are you born again this morning? Have you recognized that you're a sinner and you can't wash away your sin by anything that you can do? That you're stuck. And the only way that you can get rid of your sin and have eternal life, know that when you die, you can spend eternity with God in heaven, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and ask him to forgive you. It's the only way. It's the only way. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. It's the only way. You want love in your life? You're tired of staggering around in the mire and the muck of fear and hatred and all, you know, think of it, jealousy and rage and all the other things that go along that are on the opposite side of love. There are people who live in that neighborhood. Did you know that? They live in that house every day with those things. And they see no way to get out. There's no door to open. There's no window to crawl through. Nothing. That's what they see. They're hopeless. That's how they feel. Maybe you felt that way. There's no answers. Well, there are answers. God so loved you that he gave his Son. That's the door. Jesus himself said, I am the door. Right? I am the way. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. And we have known and believed that the love of God that God has to us. Think about that. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. And I'm testifying to you today that God loves you. Because he loves me, and I'm a pig. And I'm a jerk. And I'm a scuzzball. And he still loves me. And he's changing me. And he's making me something I could never, ever, ever in my life believe. But he's doing it. And he can do it for you. He can do it for anybody. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. You want your life to be a sweet-smelling aroma. Love God. Love your neighbor. Be that sweet-smelling aroma in people's lives. And they'll look at you and they'll say, why are you doing this? But they'll want it. They will want what you have. Because they don't have it. And think about this, too. What are we here for? What are we doing? Because it says in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Think about this. What are we doing? And where are we going? When we die, who do we have to stand before? And who do we give an account of our lives to? I want to love as he loved. So when I stand before him, he can say what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. And right now I think to myself, he's going to look at me, and he's going to go, Bill, Bill, Bill. But it's me reacting, right? Because he loves me. Oh, and I've made plenty of mistakes, and you know, he'll let me know. But he loves me. He loves me. And think about this too. When you love someone, there's no fear. There's no fear of anything. See, this is something that's always killed me, because you know, you can go along your whole life and you think you know somebody, and you say something, you do something, something happens, and they're like mad at you. Well, don't you know me? Haven't you known me for so long? Do you know my person and my character all these years, and yet this one thing is going to tear it? Right? Fear does not belong where love is. And in fact, perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, because fear has torment. When you're afraid, remember your heart, you feel it, your heart hurts. Your stomach hurts. You can't think straight, right? And it's all you dwell upon. And of course, our nature, we always think the worst of everything, don't we? When something's going on, it's always the worst. We just default. But God loves us so much that he only wants the best for us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Get out of that house. Get out of that house. And enter into the house that God built. We love him because he first loved us. Tell you what, we didn't love him. We shook our tiny fists at him. He loved us first. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Think about that, Christian. If a man say that he loves God, who he's never seen, but doesn't like his brother, who he has seen, you have a problem. He's a liar. We have been called to love. And this commandment, verse 21, we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Tell you what, we need this more than anything in the world right now. Absolutely, positively, hands down, I don't see anything that we need more than this. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. All times. And a brother is born for adversity. You having trials and troubles right now? You should be glad that you're in the family of Curtis, because people here care about what's going on. Even at the end of 1 Peter 2, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Love the brotherhood. Love them. Love them. Because in Revelation, you just went through that with Peter Rennie, the first church and the last church, what does it say about them? The first church says you've lost your first love. The last church says you're lukewarm. There is no love. And he's talking to Christians. Love one another. Love one another. What are we to be doing? What should we be doing? Love one another. Talk to one another. Be right with one another. Don't give up. Don't quit on each other. Don't snipe. Don't gripe. Don't complain. Love one another. Father, we do thank you for this day. Knowing we're a little over, but Father, we need help. I need help. I need to do what Jesus did, and Jesus loved me. So why can't I love anybody else? Father, help us to love one another. Unconditionally, beyond measure, as things begin to get worse and fear starts to creep in, only your love can watch over us, protect us, cover us, and keep us together. That's it. God, help us. Thanks for this place. Thanks for these people. Thanks for these friends that we have. Bless each one. You know each one of these people's hearts and my heart, and I ask that you would minister. And we give you thanks for your Son who loved us and went to a cross and died for us. And thank you, Father, for giving him in our place. We just give you great thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.